Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to join me in John chapter 8. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 21 to 30. John chapter 8, verses 21 to 30. Have you ever met someone famous? Someone famous, someone you've only seen on TV or in the movies, and you always imagined what it would be like to meet them, and then you finally did get the chance to meet them, and they were absolutely nothing like you thought they'd be. Maybe they pleasantly surprised you, or maybe it was a negative experience, but sometimes we build up in our minds a picture of who someone is, what someone is like, and when we finally encounter them, they're nothing like we imagined. It seems as if that's exactly what is happening in our text as the religious leaders continue to challenge Jesus' identity. We are rejoining the story in John 8, verses 21 to 30 as this misunderstanding continues. I'll begin reading in verse 21. Once more, Jesus said to them, and that's the religious leaders he was engaged with. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away. And you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But Jesus continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I've heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity today to gather in worship. We give you thanks for this place. We give you thanks for the people who surround us. We give you thanks for your presence in this place. And we give you thanks for the gift of Scripture. God, I especially thank you for the gift of the Gospels. They give so much insight into who you are and who we are and what you have done for each of us. In these next few minutes, as we study this Scripture, give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 21, Jesus says, I'm going away. And on the surface, this was great news for the Pharisees. How they'd love for Jesus to just go away. This is all a continuation of the conversation that we've already been considering across the last few weeks. And Jesus is still talking about the Father, the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Jesus is telling them that he won't be around forever. He's prophesying he will soon go back to the Father. And yet the Pharisees mock him. They say, will he kill himself? In Judaism, the depths of hell were reserved for those who took their own lives. Jesus was speaking here of death and a journey, so he must be referring to eternal destinations. The Pharisees are quite sure they're not going to hell, so it must be Jesus who's headed there. Yet Jesus is unfazed by both their sarcasm and their pride. Verse 24, we see Jesus say, "You will indeed die in your sins." He states his indictment a second time, but what exactly does this mean? To die in your sins is to die in their power, to die with their penalty, to pay the penalty yourself. The penalty of sin, according to Scripture, is eternal separation from the presence of God. So what other option is there? Revelation 14:13 describes the blessing of those who die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to allow the Savior to take your sins, to pay their full penalty on your behalf. Jesus has made that offer to the people he's speaking with again and again, and yet they don't seem to be hearing what he's saying. Believe, he says, and trust, because I am the Messiah. Now we've gotten to the heart of the matter. The question is, who does Jesus think he is to stand in front of all these people and promise salvation? That prompts their question in verse 25, who are you? And can't you just hear Jesus sigh from here? He's been telling them again and again and again who he is, and they continue to ask the most basic of questions. And so he responds by saying, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. Even if we look at the teaching unit right before this, from verses 12 to 20, Jesus is telling them again and again and again, this is who I am. It's all that he's been talking about. I've been sent from the Father. I am the light of the world. I am returning to the Father. It's clear that Jesus is claiming to be the Messiah, and yet he is nothing that the Pharisees expected. They'd waited their whole lives for the Messiah to come, and in their minds, they knew exactly what this Messiah would be like. They knew exactly what they would look like. They knew exactly what they would say. They knew exactly how they would deliver the people and favor the Jewish nation. They had all of these ideas of what the Messiah would be like. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he looks nothing like it. Nothing like what they expected. Their expectations have blinded them to the reality that stands right before them. Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Lifted up means exalted. It means glorified. But it also means crucified in John's gospel. The Messiah will be lifted upon a cross, crucified in his exaltation. Jesus is saying, you'll know all of this soon enough, only if you don't trust in me, it'll be too late, and you will have died in your sins. This reminds me of another conversation Jesus had with his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. It was the one where he said, who do people say I am? And you'll remember they threw out John the Baptist and Elijah and a couple different options, and then Jesus finally said to them, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter makes his famous proclamation that you are the one, Jesus. You are the one. And Jesus praises him for knowing this because the Father had made it known. Jesus is longing in these spaces for others to find that same revelation. He longs for people in the world today to also make that connection and choose to believe that he is who he said he was. Their personal answer as they dialogue with Jesus that day determined that they died in the Lord and not under the power of their sin. Now, I don't know about you. The last several weeks when we've been in the Gospel of John following this dialogue between Jesus and the leaders, it feels kind of like it's been a negative experience. It feels like as masterful as Jesus must have been teaching and debating and dialoguing with people, the people just weren't getting it. If we were to judge him by today's standards as a leader, we might wonder, is he making the progress that we'd expect him to make? I love then that in the midst of that, where it feels like negative interactions, we come to this final verse in verse 30, and we see that even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. John's emphasizing the clash with leadership because the clash with leadership is what will eventually lead Jesus to the cross. And it's important for us to understand that context. But meanwhile, while all of this is happening center stage, we keep reading again and again that the people who are listening, the people who are encountering Jesus, the people who are listening to what he says, they are choosing to believe in him and choosing to follow after him. The ones who should have known, the scholars who possessed all of the prophecies, they were struggling to see. But others, many others, apparently did see and put their faith in Jesus. I think sitting in a room like this on a Sunday morning in worship, most of us have made a decision like that at some point in our lives to put our faith in Jesus, to believe that he was who he said he was. We live in a world where not everybody embraces that message, and that's okay. But we have the chance through our own faith to feel confidence and know that we die in the Lord, that we have the salvation that Jesus has brought, and that it's not just for the future, it's for the here and now, but also something that we have been tasked, privileged with, really, to share with everybody around us. The identity of Jesus will be challenged again and again by the experience that we have as believers who've chosen to trust him, to take him at his word, and to follow him opens us to the blessings of salvation and the blessings of sharing that salvation with the world. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, it's easy to sit outside of a text like this and wonder why can't they see? Why can't they understand? Why won't they believe who you are? And yet we also know that there are times in our day-to-day lives where we don't take you at your word. We don't follow after the plain teachings that you've made available to us. We struggle as well because if we're honest, Jesus, you sometimes surprise us. You're sometimes different than who we expected you to be, and it can be difficult to be faithful and to follow after you. Help us to be inspired as we see that many listened to you on this occasion and chose to believe. May we be a people who, whether or not we are surprised or whether or not you are doing things that make sense to us, that we're a people who trust you. We trust your love for us. We believe that the best way to live in this world is the way that you have given to us in your gospels. And that as we trust in you and begin to experience our salvation in the here and now, even as we wait for that day when we're united with you, we have the privilege to share that same gift with the entire world around us. Inspire us to do so. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.